Glory be to God. Give him the praise and the honor. For all of it is due his name. As I have been telling you over the past few weeks, do not forget the foundational blessings of yesterday. Remember to give God thanks for all of the blessings from yesterday. Yesterday. I need that. As usual. Remember, you can just go ahead and put that down and just bring that on over. Bring that on over. Remember how God has provided for you and blessed you in the thousands of yesterdays that you have lived. I believe that God is very offended at people who keep on asking for new things, but they never pause to thank him for all of the thousands of things he's already done for you. Be that as it may, Robert Murray McCain said, if you do not worship God in your family, you are living in positive sin. You may be quite sure you do not care for the souls of your family. That's what Robert Murray McCain said. You could be quite sure that you don't care for the souls of your family if you don't worship God as a family, if you don't praise God as a family, if you don't pray with and for your family and read the word of God to your family. Your family may go to hell, yet you are a Christian, and oh, how painful that will be. Could it be that that's why the Bible says God will wipe all tears from their eyes, because you're not going to see some of your dear children, some of your family members in heaven, and you will know that they're burning in hell. You better pray with your family and for your family right now. You better grab your little ones, no matter how rebellious and how cantankerous that family member might be. You better pray for them, pray with them, and try to help them to see the light. Can somebody say amen? This is a matter of heaven and hell, people. This is not a joke. If you neglect to spread a meal for your children, light, Daniel, light. If you neglect to spread a meal for your children to eat, would it not be said that you did not care for their bodies? Amen, somebody. We do have some mothers and fathers who don't care for their children's bodies. They don't even feed them. And they are wicked as hell. And if you do not lead your children and servants to the green pastures of God's word and to seek the living water, how plain is it that you do not care for their souls? He goes on to say, do it regularly, morning and evening. And may I add, all day long, be praying. be praying. Be praying. One of the mottos of salespeople is always be closing. Always be closing. Always be closing. Our motto ought to be praying. Be praying. Always be praying. It is more needful than your daily food. More needful than your daily work is daily prayer and reading the Bible and being obedient to the Word of God. Can somebody up in here and out there all over the world say amen right where you are? Right now, we have many people who, and we thank God for all of our dear friends on the various platforms, and we thank God for all of our dear friends such as platforms such as Periscope and Facebook Live and Gospel Lighthouse of Prayer and Spreaker and so forth. And Spreaker's rolling good this morning. And the way they say amen now is throwing up many likes. And we thank God for you. You know, I don't ask you for likes like people do. That is so wicked to be begging people to like you. You know, I don't do that, but we thank God for you folks throwing up hundreds and hundreds and thousands of likes and saying amen, amen, and amen. But you mark my word, one day, the hundreds of you out there, thousands of you out there who hear me preach every day and who partake in these devotions, one day they're going to have the thing set up where you can say amen right back to me while I'm preaching live, while I'm speaking live. You mark my words. Be that as it may, please join me in prayer and in praying the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer from the old King James Version that your great-grandmother taught you, that your grandmother taught you. You could not go to bed, especially you black folk. You know what I'm talking about. If you didn't learn your ABCs, you learned the Lord's Prayer. Oh, yes, you did. Down in the deep south, in the black and dark night, because you might recall, we didn't have street lights, a whole lot of street lights in our communities. And great-grandmother Breedlove and mother Gladys Beeman and mother Tempe White. We went ahead and just called our grandmother's mother back in the day because in many cases they were the mother. And they came from the old school. And you had better learn how to pray the Lord's Prayer. You may not know what it meant, but you better pray it from your heart. They never said from the memory, but from by heart. Amen, somebody. Thank God for the old school grandmothers who brought us through. Our Father, and if, by the way, if you pray it and engage your heart and mind and pray it meaningfully, it will be meaningful. Oh, yes. God will hear this prayer that Jesus taught you to pray as a model. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to God. I like it real good. I didn't feel anything. That was a dry prayer. That's because you didn't engage your heart and your mind. You didn't focus on God. You were just saying words. You didn't mean it. You got to pray it with meaning. And by the way, beloved, as you grow older and older in the Lord, you will discover that faith in God has nothing at all to do with feeling, even though every now and then you might feel a little wheel turning on the inside. Can somebody out in the wilderness say amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. I know that there's some people who don't like us staying here for a minute, as the young folks say. My wife has told me many times that this is her least favorite passage of scripture, but that did not stop me from reading it. And all of scripture ought to be your favorite, or ought to be a blessing to you. And if you're wondering why we're here for so long time, in the words of Shaggy, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. My oldest son, Daniel White IV, who on this has done a pretty good job, is the one who puts together the devotionals. And it just so happens that this particular passage, and getting through it through the commentary that we add to help you get the sense of it and the understanding of it, as Ezra did back in the day, causes us to be here so long time. And that's all right. We give God the glory, and we must need it. Amen, somebody. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. This is the word of God. Dr. David Guzik, who was a favorite author of one of my dear preacher friends and mentor in many ways, second father in many ways, and associate in the ministry, Brother Sammy Madison, writes in his commentary on the Bible regarding this passage further, we can understand how the husband is head of the wife in the same way that Christ is the head of the church. Sometimes it is difficult to see how the husband is the savior of the body in the way that Jesus Christ is the savior of the church body, that is his church. Martin Lloyd Jones thinks Paul used the wider understanding of the word savior, which can simply mean preserver, keeper. 1 Timothy 4:10 speaks of Jesus being the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. How can Jesus be the Savior of all men? In the sense that he preserves all men and blesses all men with good things from heaven above. It is in this way that husbands are to be their wife's savior, if you will. Martin Lloyd-Jones continues by saying, what then is the doctrine, Danielle Light? What then is the doctrine? It is clearly this: the wife is the one who is kept preserved, guarded, shielded, provided for by the husband. That is the relationship as Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. So the husband nourishes and cherishes the wife, and the wife should realize that that is her position in this relationship. And I have shed, if you will, a revelation to many of you men, no matter how crusty she might be on the outside, no matter how cantankerous she might be on the outside, deep down in the soul and in the spirit and in the mind of a woman, God has wired her to want to submit to you and serve you. And I double dare any woman who is called to be a wife to deny what I just said. She has that nursing instinct. She has that healing instinct. There are things that my wife has the ability to do for me and does for me that, quite frankly, I would not do for her. I don't even have the mind, the instinct to do for her. I would make sure I get somebody else, another female, to do for her. For example, my wife massages my legs and my feet. Quite frankly, I am not going to be doing that for her. She does it in a medical sense, is what I'm talking about. I might massage some legs and toes in another sense, but in a medical sense, for comfort and for healing, she massages my feet and my legs, and it's just, and it's in her to do that. She has those instincts, those caring, nurturing instincts, serving, helping. And so when she does it well, when she wants to. Okay? And that's what I'm telling you men. You're not tapping into what God has already put in her. Stop worrying about it and just encourage her to be what she's already designed to be. And she wants to, listen to me very carefully, if she does not submit to you, she will submit to somebody. Because deep down, women like to submit to a man that's in them. Now, there's the flesh part, of course not. She has the flesh that she has to battle with as well. But if she's a child of God, she's a Christian, particularly, and even lost women, they want to submit to a man. This is the reason why we have a whole lot, and I told you this before, we have a whole lot of this stuff going on in our society about women wanting to be whipped and women wanting to be punished and all the kind of stuff like that. And there's an explosion of that. There's a whole movie series on that going on. I believe the name of it is Dark Passions, or Shades of Grey, or 50 Shades of Grey, or some other foolishness. You got many women who desire that kind of activity because they have never chosen to obey God in the first place and submit to their husbands. And so they want some wild and crazy stuff now because they have suppressed that instinct in them to submit to a man. And you'll be amazed that once a woman taps into that, or you help her to tap into it, how blessed she will be. And I'm talking to women who are wives and who want to be wives. Not, you know, and I'm not talking about situations where men are cruel and mean and hateful to the wife and all of that kind of foolishness. We're talking about you're doing it willingly. If you don't do it willingly, then it's going to be a problem. But anyway, that's what the Word of God says, my beloved, very clearly in our hearing. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And that word let is all about your will, ladies. Do it willingly, and I assure you that you will be a blessed woman. And I assure you that that man, you hear me well, you do this cheerfully and willingly, that man will move heaven and earth to make sure you have everything you need, and then some. You'll be dressed to the prettiest in the community. You'll have a beautiful little red car and a beautiful little red cell phone, and you'll be free to do whatever you need to do and what you want to do if you treat that man right, respect that man, and submit to him. He will move heaven and earth to take care of you and cherish you and provide for you and be a blessing to you. But you have to do your part. And he's got to know he can trust you and depend upon you to do it God's way. And you'll be doubly blessed now and in the future. And your husband and your husband and your children will rise up and call you blessed and mean it. Not manipulated by you. They will mean it, and you will be overwhelmed with blessings. I guarantee it. If you don't do it, your husband is not going to respond that way, and your children will not respond that way. I know it's tight, but in the words of my dad who is in heaven, Bishop Daniel White Jr., I know it's tight, but it's right. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the family. Help us to get back to the old landmarks. Help us to get back to the plain teaching of the Word of God. And help us to forsake the newfangled ways that have not worked, that have devastated our marriages and our families, even in the church, which now divorce and children going astray is normal and is accepted as another acceptable sin by disobedient Christians. Lord, for those of us who can repent and save the day, help us to do that in our families. For Lord, if we lose our families, to the devil and hell. It doesn't really matter whatever else we do. Forgive us. Have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us. And if we know, Lord, if husbands are disobedient to you, wives will be disobedient to the husband, and children will be disobedient to the father and the mother. We reap what we sow. So, Lord, help us not to sow it. Help us to repent of our sins. Help us to turn around and do it your way and not our way, because your way works and our way does not, obviously. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, my beloved, please read with me our devotional Bible passage, Psalm 107, verses 10 through 16. Yes, this is what we did for 30 years every day. We read the entire family verses, what I call the family verses, in Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. Every now and then we would skip around and emphasize certain points, certain verses. And then we read a whole nother passage or two or three. You say, well, preacher, did all of that work? Well, our family is still together and stronger than ever after 30 years. And all of my children serve God and serve God with me in the ministry and in other ministries, and have been to the mission field, and have been taught to witness and pass out gospel literature. Very rarely a day goes by we're not involved in the corporate ministry online and in parking lots and other places. If you get a track on your window in our wherever we are, that's probably us or some other faithful Christian. By the way, we're in need of 100,000 gospel tracts from Chick, with the information on the back printed about the ministry here, and that costs a lot of money. And so if you can donate $20,000, you can pay Chick directly. You don't have to send us the money. We need some Chick tracks, and we have passed those gospel tracks out with great success down through the years, because, as they say, Chick tracks get read. If you don't know what Chick tracks are, say that about five times in a row. Please go to their website, Chick, like a little chick, or a beautiful chick, for those of you who have gutter minds, C-H-I-C-K, Chick Tracks, T-R-A-C-T-S. And if you want to help us with that large mission outreach, just email us and we'll tell you where you can, we'll give you the design, or we'll send them the design we want on the back, and you can just pay them for us, and we don't have to touch the money. We just want the tracks. Verse 10, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction, my God, in iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. My God, help us. You say, preacher, what are you writing? One of the things that I've taught my children is while you're having devotion, God will remind you of things that you need to do. And so instead of resisting that and fighting that, and yes, the devil can use that, go ahead and write it down if it's something good. If you notice the devil doing some mess, don't write it down, but write it down and keep on praying, keep on reading the Word of God. God just reminded me of something that needs to be done. That's for the ministry. And I just wrote it down. I wrote down two things. And so that I would encourage you to do the same. If God brings something positive to your mind, it may seem as a distraction, but while you're praying and reading the Bible, He will tell you to do things. He will interrupt your little prayer and actually answer it by telling you to do this. He's done that for me and to me hundreds of times down through the years. God will disrupt your prayers, if you will. God will interrupt your prayers and tell you what to do. Don't stop. Don't stop him. Just write it down and do what he tells you and keep on praying and reading the Word of God. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Have you ever done that? And he saved them out of their distresses. Glory be to God. I like that real good. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Only God can do that. Do you know that there's some things that only God can deliver you from? And it thwarts the plans of the devil and the devilish people. And they're shocked beyond measure. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Now, beloved, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, the description of prisoners and captives intimates that they are desolate and sorrowful. Afflicting providences must be improved as humbling providences, and we lose the benefit if our hearts are unhumbled and unbroken under them. This is a shadow of the sinner's deliverance from a far worse confinement. The awakened sinner discovers his guilt and misery. The awakened sinner discovers his guilt and misery. Having struggled in vain for deliverance, he finds there is no help for him but in the mercy and grace of God. Beloved, I hope you get to the point of understanding that. There are situations in your life that will arise that you can look to your left and there's no help. You can look to your right and there's no help. You can look in front of you and there's no help. You can look behind you and there's no help. You can look at your job and there's no help. You can look at your mommy and your daddy and there's no help. And then, beloved, all you can do is look up and depend upon the mercy and grace of God. And God has you right where he wants you. When you cry out, Holy Father God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, show grace to me and help me to repent of my sins. And now, Lord, hear my prayer. Amen, somebody. His sin is forgiven by a merciful God, and his pardon, back to the text, is accompanied by deliverance from the power of sin and Satan and by the sanctifying and comforting influences of God the Holy Spirit. Join me, my beloved, in praying for the estates. you know about the five estates by now, so let's get right to it. Holy Father God, we pray for your church. We pray that you would help us to pray, to seek your face, to humble ourselves, to turn from our wicked ways, to turn back to you and to get back to our first love, you, Lord Jesus, and start serving you with that same spirit you gave us when we first got saved, because we love you back, because you first loved us. Revive us again. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision, and for wisdom for every pastor, every evangelist, every teacher, every church, and every ministry. And Holy Father God, we also pray for all governmental leaders based upon your holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And based upon your holy word, Lord, we continue to pray for President Donald Trump, as we have prayed for every president since President Reagan. We pray that you'll give him and his government wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We pray that you would lead them and guide them and direct them in the way that you want them to go. We pray for all of his administration. We pray for Vice President Mike Pence, Daniel in the high court of the land. We pray for First Lady Melania Trump. Give her grace and strength to stand strong. We pray for Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Deputy Assistant for Management and Administration, Marcia Lee Kelly, all leaders of federal agencies, including Small Business Administration leader Linda McMahon. We pray for all state governors, including Louisiana Governor John Bell Edwards, all city mayors, including Wichita, Kansas Mayor Jeff Longwell. We pray for all members of Congress, including California Representative Mike Thompson. We also pray for the mayor down in, I can't remember the city, but I think it's in Brazil, being persecuted because of his or her Christian faith. Comfort them as only you can. We pray for all law enforcement officials, including Oakland, California Police Chief and Kirkpatrick, all military leaders, including James Mad Dog Mattis, General Robert B. Neller, Commandant of the Marine Corps, leaders of nations around the world, Czech Republic's President Miloš Zeman and Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka, and we pray for the people and the citizens. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon the people in America, the citizens who are supposed to be the leaders of America and control the government, we the people, and other countries who don't have such a system. We pray that you'd give them wisdom as well, knowledge, understanding, and insight, even throughout this election year. And we pray most importantly that they would hear the gospel by any means necessary. Have your Holy Spirit to convict them of their sins and understand their need to be saved from hell by believing on Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. We pray for all media, traditional media, as well as new media. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved and lead and guide and direct these people to report the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And help still respected men in the news to cut out the foolishness and stop going by talking points and an agenda. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all current events around the world, not to inform you because you already know about them, but to be obedient to you when you told us to pray for all people. We pray for the comfort of the families of the two people killed in a awful, unnecessary train collision in South Carolina. We pray for the recovery of the over 100 people who were injured. We pray for an end to the fighting in Syria, for the protection of civilians, and for the recovery of the devastated country. We pray for the many in the Middle East and North Africa who are leaving their countries to find homes elsewhere, often under very dire and desperate circumstances. Bring them to salvation through Christ and grant them safety, protection, and favor in the eyes of others who can help them. For Lord God in heaven, we all need your favor to make it in this sin-cursed world, this maze of wickedness and foolishness and evil. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for all of the prayer requests that have come in, hundreds. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings to rest upon all of these people who have sent in their prayer requests, and help them, Lord, to pray, hear and answer their prayers for themselves, and hear and answer our prayers for them as well. We pray for Raju. Please bless him with the job you want him to have. We pray for Shika. Please provide him and his church with all the Bibles they need for new converts. We pray for Maricel. Bless her with a child according to your perfect time and will. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior. We pray for Christy, we pray for L, we pray for C. Help these to stand strong in the faith and to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you as well through this ministry. We pray for Rod, we pray for E, and we pray for O. We commit these souls into your hands and help them to stand strong in the faith and to grow in the faith. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done. We commit our souls into your hands as well. Let your will be done in our lives, and help us to do all we can for your kingdom before we leave this earth, for we will leave it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading for today is titled Victors or Victims. Wow. Victors or Victims. Wow. How timely is that for our society? Our society, which in many cases is always throwing a self-pity party here and there and everywhere, and even as groups, by A.W. Tozer. He goes on to say, if Satan opposes the new convert, he opposes still more bitterly the Christian who is pressing on toward a higher life in Jesus Christ. The spirit-filled life is not, as many suppose, a life of peace and quiet pleasure. And may I say, amen, right there. And I believe that all of you can say amen right there. It's just not, my beloved. And I can stay there all day, but I won't. It is likely to be something quite the opposite. Viewed one way, it is a pilgrimage through a robber-infested forest. Viewed another, it is a grim warfare with the devil. Always there is struggle. This is a man who lived the Christian life right here. He understands. Always there is struggle, and sometimes there is a pitched battle with our own nature, amen, somebody, where the lines are so confused that it is all but impossible to locate the enemy or to tell which impulse is of the spirit and which of the flesh. This is, I say again, a man who understands. This is a man who fought the battle while he was here, the true Christian battle. There is complete victory for us if we will but take the way of the triumphant Christ. But that is not what we are considering right now. He goes on to say, my point here is that if we want to escape the struggle, we have but to draw back and accept the currently accepted low-keyed Christian life as the normal Christian life. And I've said this many times, so that's why I know this brother knows what he's talking about. In other words, what he's saying is, if you want this battle to kind of quiet down some, just stop serving God and moving forward in God. Stop praying. Stop encouraging other people to pray. Stop praying for people. Stop witnessing to the lost. Stop passing out gospel literature. Stop knocking on doors and telling folks about Jesus Christ. And stop bringing people to church and all of that. If you cut all that out, then the battle will quiet down some. There's no doubt about that. Stop preaching. Stop proclaiming the gospel. Stop giving God the praise, the glory, and the honor. Stop tithing and all of that. And the battle and giving, the battle will quiet down some. But as long as you're doing stuff like that, the devil's going to be on you like white on rice and black on me. And that's a fact. So he continues, that is all Satan wants. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do, is to lay down. Quit. In the words of Charles McKinney, throw in the towel. That will ground our power, stunt our growth, and render us harmless to the kingdom of darkness. And that's exactly what Satan wants. He continues, compromise will take the pressure off. How many of you in here this morning, you've heard me say that many times. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You've heard me say that many times. Everybody. Compromise, quitting, throwing in the towel, retreat, will take the satanic pressure off of you. And I say, let the pressure stay on. Because when the pressure is on us like it is right now, that means we're putting pressure on Satan and his kingdom, and he doesn't like it, and he wants us to stop. And trust me when I tell you, he has pulled out all of the stops. People who were once for us have turned against us. Debts are high, money is low. Constant satanic pressure, tempted and tried. Sanballats are increasing, and Tobias's too, and Judas's are more aggressive. But we fight on. We continue to hold up the blood-stained banner. Can somebody say amen? We march on. But he closes by saying, Satan will not bother a man who has quit fighting. Satan at that point is standing over you like Muhammad Ali is standing over the iconic picture over Sonny Liston. In the iconic picture of Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay at the time, getting ready to hit you again while you're falling, but holding up. He's got you where he wants you. He's beat you down to the ground. He's knocked you out of the race and of the fight. You want to sleep? Go ahead on and sleep now. You can do it. He's got you right where he wants you. But he continues, but the cost of quitting will be a life of peaceful stagnation. And may I say, peaceful pain. We children of eternity cannot afford such a thing. So fight on, my brothers and my sisters. Be ye soldiers of the cross. Hold up the blood-stained banner, and never, 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 in the words of Churchill, never, never, never give up. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this tremendous devotional time. We thank you for being in the midst. We thank you for leading it and guiding it and directing it, controlling it and blessing it, and blessing and allowing everything to go well mechanically regarding it. And Lord, we pray for everyone who has quit on you, who has compromised, and who have given up in your church. Have mercy and grace upon us. Forgive us of our sins. And we pray for those who are tempted every day to quit and to give up. And some who have, but they're still going through the motions. We pray that you would revive us again, restore us again, renew us again. And Lord, help us to keep the pressure on Satan and his kingdom. We know that he's going to add on pressure to us. But that equals the battle. And we pray that you'll help us to continue to fight on until you call us home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Now this is what the devil wants me to stop doing. This is why he fights me like hell itself, because I present the gospel to thousands of dying and lost people each week. live and on demand all around the world in thousands of different things that are out there now on many different platforms and sites. And so, dear friend, if you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in the free pardon of your sins, you will go to hell if you died today. Allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved from sin and from the consequences of sin, eternal hell. Yes, it's a very serious matter, and no one is trying to scare you. I'm just stating facts very calmly. It's up to you to make the decision to trust Christ as Savior. God will not make you do it, and far be it from me to try to make you do something that God will not make you do. It's your choice. I'm just presenting the biblical facts. In order to be saved, first, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. We all have. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now. You don't have to do anything else. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, by the way, I'm not talking about church membership. By the way, I'm not talking about getting baptized at the age of 12, or you were Christian as a baby. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about shouting and jumping and running around the church. There are many people who have died and gone to hell having all of that going on. I'm talking about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about meeting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That there's a point in time you realized that you were a lost sinner and you trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that is bad news. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again, understanding that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God. God laid all of his sins on him for you and for me. And he died for our sins. He suffered. He bled and he died for you and me. Humiliated before the world for you and me. Went through hell and went to hell for you and me. So that we would not have to go to hell. Now that's love. My dear friend, you will never witness, you will never hear about, you will never see love like that ever again. God, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ is God. God loved you so much. He created you from nothing, but he loved you so much. He wants to fellowship with you so badly that he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. All of our ugliness, all of our rebelliousness, all of our nastiness, He died for it. He shed his blood for it to cleanse it away. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He took care of the problem. And your sins are paid for, and all you have to do is believe on him. For the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. And I would count it a privilege, with a tear in my eye, to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Notice what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13. I was 19 years old when I first read these scripture verses, and it changed my life forever. On that night, December the 19th, 1979, I was 19 years old. I prayed the prayer and asked Christ to come into my heart and save me because of these verses. That if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you willing, dear friend, to believe on Christ and pray and confess your sins and confess that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to call on God to save your soul through Jesus Christ? Good. I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner by choice and by nature. And I admit that I have sinned against you by breaking some of your Ten Commandments, such as lying about my taxes, lying on mortgage forms, being dishonest, lusting after people and things that don't belong to me, stealing things that don't belong to me, dishonoring my parents, disrespecting my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe the best way that I know how, with all of my heart, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in my heart that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old sinful life and past, and to follow you in the new life all the way to heaven because of what you did for me by your grace. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Jesus Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Like you said.